What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another amazing, extravagant, eloquent, beautiful. Help me out here, Doc.
Scrumtralescent.
Yeah. Oh, son. Word.
We going there.
Oh, no doubt. You're going to have to teach me that word after. I have no idea. I'm not even going to try and repeat it and embarrass myself. Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter at Armand, all one, Armand Wake Up. I'm sorry, all one word, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up. ClockRadioSpeakers.com, Facebook, Twitter, CRS Podcast. If you go to ClockRadioSpeakers.com, it's through Tumblr, so follow us on Tumblr. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Resubscribe to us if you subscribe to the old feed. Resubscribe and re-vote and re-comment and do all that stuff. We'd appreciate it. And every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., dpsradio.com. Text DPS Radio to 90210 to get the official DPS Radio app. You can listen from your phone. Check out not only us, but all the other shows that are on the station. And as usual, hopefully forever in a day. Usual. Oh, that's a 90s word. Usual. To cat, I guess, because we was talking about Method Man before the show started. But of course, I got my man, the funky DOC. No one can do it better. Remember when you did that drop on the soul tape?
Oh God, I look for a drop forever, right? Because obviously, y'all hear me, and you know I don't have the kind of voice for a drop. Because you know I'm a white boy. So
that beats dumb.
That is the one thing I don't really have. But what's going on, y'all? Follow me on Twitter, Doc_Beats. S not a Z. I think Armand hit all the highlights for everything else. Yeah, I'm still saying S not a Z.
No, I think it's funny that, like, I don't know. If you go by a production name and it has Beats with a Z at the end, can you let us know why you chose Z over an S? I'm just curious. It's like spelling the D-A.
And for the record, like, it's not like my production name actually is Doc Beats. It's just that finding Gmail accounts and Twitter accounts for just Doc is impossible.
Absolutely.
So that's how that got started. But what's going on, man?
Now we got to find you a drop. We're going to find a drop before Kairos drops. I know that much. Okay. We're going to find a drop.
All right.
Find one. Just no, dude, nothing like that.
I can't turn the synth up and, you know.
Nah, don't do that.
All right.
Don't do that. So, there's a lot going on. It's a lot of random stuff that we're going to talk about today. Recording the show on a Tuesday, so your man 2 Chainz dropped his album today, based on a true story. Did you cop 3 copies? One for the car, one for the crib, and one for your girl. Is that how they do?
We're full of rapper shenanigans today.
Yeah, you rappers and your shenanigans.
I'm serious, man. I need a Tumblr blog, rapper shenanigans.
There probably is one, and God bless whoever made.
I found one. I found one today. It's Rich Kids Instagrams.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Oh, that's, man, pathetic.
That's just incredible. God bless the internet. Like,
like what doesn't? I'm gonna. Is there ever gonna be a period, Doc, where the internet runs out of stuff to not only like entertain us, but like entertain us in a hilarious manner?
No, not at all.
Rappers looking like magicians.
That's a great one.
That was
the Michael Jordan fashion blog is great.
Yes.
But anyway, nah, I'm not gonna go buy Señor Chainz album.
Dos Cadenas.
For our Spanish friends in the audience.
Hey.
Nah, I'm good off that. We're gonna talk about it because, you know, yeah, we've listened to it.
We for the people.
That's funny that you say that, because I actually in my notes I sort of have a place where I want to go. See how you look at you, like, reading my mind, like stealing my lines, man.
It's just the connection that we have, man. It's just what we do. This is episode what, 62, 63? Like, that's what happens when you do this over God, we're almost coming up to a year, aren't we?
Yeah, because I was thinking, I was like, how did we get to 60 some episodes? That hasn't even been 52 weeks, but I forgot. Way back when we started doing the retrospectives, we were like, no one's going to listen to a 3-hour show. So we used to like break them up. So we got a lot of like multi-part episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. And people ask for more. Like, time has rarely been a
a concern for most of our audience. Most of our audience, they usually rock with the 2 hours.
I will say this. My wife has told me like it's hard because like if she listens to the show, she tries to listen to it like when she's in the car driving to and from work or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're like multiple trips in the car. Like that's how long these shows go. But
yeah.
So we later on, we're going to talk a little bit about 2 Chainz. What else we got?
Few mixtapes dropped. Hit-Boy dropped a mixtape. Some of you guys, if you don't know who Hit-Boy is, Hit-Boy produced African Americans in Paris. And so he pretty much did the Kanye thing and dropped the mixtape called Hitstory. Dropped it last week, I believe. So we're going to talk about that. And other producer making mixtape news, Mike Will Made It, who we have championed quite often on Clock Radio Speakers. He released the mixtape called Mike Will Made It, Established in 1989, Part 2, which makes me feel ridiculously old.
Crazy old.
Jesus. I don't know a lot, man. I guess let's start with your man, though.
My man?
Yeah, let's start with your man's and them. Dwight Howard and the Post Dog. Pigeons on the Roof like Ghost Dog.
Uh-oh. You've been listening to... you starting to rap like Dos Cadenas.
Oh. Pigeons? No, that's Stench Montana.
Nah, I know. But I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I meant poorly. You're starting to rap poorly. Is that... but no, so Dwight Howard, you know, even though he's been begging to go to Brooklyn, he ends up in L.A. To the surprise of not that many people. I guess it was a surprise, number one, that it got done so sort of out of the blue without that much hype leading up to it.
Yes.
There was a couple leaks, but nothing serious. And then, of course, the other big surprise is, you know, that Orlando got nothing. They got nothing. I mean, if they wanted nothing, they could have had nothing a long time ago.
Yeah, they could have got nothing from the Rockets.
They could have got that. They could have got more. I mean, they could have got something, you know. But
nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
No, that's a rapperism.
More you know, just flash that.
So you got Bynum going out to Philly, which is really interesting.
Really interesting.
All of a sudden, you know, you look at the East. They lose Iguodala to Denver,
which is also a good move too.
That's, I mean, they're sort of, he's perfect for Denver.
He is. George Karl, and then the Nugget, like what they have right there, like that core group. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, it's unfortunate that the Thunder are going to be as good as they are.
Yep.
It looks like the Lakers are going to be good, assuming that they can all coexist.
Yeah.
The Clippers should be decent.
Yes.
San Antonio never gets old somehow. and then who knows who else pops? Like, that's the top of that conference is looking a little stacked.
And even in Dallas stacked up really quick, too.
Yeah, they stacked up in a weird way. I'm not really quite. I mean, to me, I don't know about that team. I feel like they have the pieces, but they feel like old, like sort of pieces that, like, if I saw that roster 2 years ago, I would have been more impressed.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean,
I agree with that.
But for Philly, you know, in the East, so, you know, Derrick Rose, he's still going to be returning from an injury. So the Bulls are potentially going to get off to a slow start.
Well, I mean, you know, they played most of last season without Rose, and they were still the number one seed. So
I'm
not 100% sure that they are going to be – that we're going to count them. I don't see them winning the conference and, you know, anything like that. But I don't just suspect them being, you know, a middle-of-the-road, fourth, fifth, sixth seed this season.
I don't know. Well, I mean, what is it that now that, – I mean, if let's say that they are still a 2 or 1 seed. I mean, Rose is going to be out half the year, right? At least
unless Chicago forces him to come back early. He's projected a all-star break.
So you're telling me that your best player, your point guard, your all NBA caliber player can miss that much of a season and you're really not that affected in the standings?
How much technically did Rose lose last year? He lost. He was out for what? I want to say he was out for half of the season, right?
Was he really? He was sort of on and off. It was different. Like when you're on and off, like it's a little different.
I got you.
Right? Because they can sort of, oh, well, we need you for this game.
Yeah.
Right? But he's just going to be I mean, there's no comeback. Like, he's just straight out. So
now, didn't they get rid of John Lucas III? They got rid of somebody, didn't they?
Oh, I don't even know.
Somebody. They got rid of somebody that was important to that core. Somebody who was very instrumental. I want to say they got rid of
John Lucas. What's his name? Omar?
Yeah, they got rid of a seat, but whatever. Yeah.
But no, so, you know, the East could be, aside from Miami, could be a little vulnerable in terms of someone else sneaking into that top half of the East.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And the Sixers, they sort of, I think they overperformed last year, but like, if you look around, like, who's guarding? I mean, so what, Hibbert and Brooke Lopez and what other centers are there in the East that I'm missing right now?
Kevin Garnett, Big Baby Davis.
Big Baby Davis is like 6'9". He's not a center.
He's a four.
Yeah, that, but I'm saying in terms of like actual center, like Bynum's a legit 7 foot plus back to the basket center.
Yep.
He should. Now, he might get some double teams, but hopefully, I think Philly's got enough guards and forwards that should be able to take advantage of that.
Yep.
That's sort of the perfect situation for that. We talked last year.
They got Nick Young. That's my dude.
We talked. You know, during during the playoffs, before the playoffs, that Indiana and Philly were two teams that they had lots of pieces, but they weren't quite all the way there.
Yep.
I think this trade makes a ton of sense for Philly.
Yep.
You got to take a chance on someone like Bynum. And, yep. And now I just see today, Bynum's going overseas for the Kobe Bryant unicorn tears, illegal whatever in my knee surgery. Even though what's crazy is in the article, he's like, his knee's not even injured. But he was so encouraged by what Kobe got out of the procedure. He's just going to go get it done anyway. Because he's had like occasional knee problems in the past or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he had bad knee problems 2 years ago.
Yeah, but like, so his knees don't hurt right now, but he's just going to go do it anyway. Like,
Precautionary.
I don't know, man.
I mean, it could be taken as precautionary. He could be trying to extend his years.
But his
contract is up this season, right?
Though this is a contract season. It's kind of crazy, but like, he doesn't need it. Like, he could get injured this year. I think someone would still throw a max contract at him.
Sure. I mean, but I guess we'll get to that point. Like, We always champion centers because I think it's because the NBA has just had a history of classic big men. Everybody from Kareem, Bill Russell, you know what I'm saying? All the way up to Shaq, Hakeem, David Robinson, you know, Tim Duncan. Like, we've always had this history of centers dominating the game. Like, today's game isn't center dominated. They play a role, but they don't play the last center to really contribute to the team winning a championship was what? Maybe Garnett when they won a few years ago. And that's even debatable.
You don't think Tyson Chandler contributed when Dallas won?
Are you serious?
I'm really being serious right now.
No, not at all.
Are you talking offensively? I mean,
I'm just period. I mean,
you don't think Tyson Chandler contributed defensively to the Mavs in 2011?
When you think of the reasons that Dallas won that championship, do you off the top of your head list?
He's the second reason.
He's the second reason?
Yeah.
Behind Dirk?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay. Who do you got as number two?
JJ Barea.
Okay. This conversation is over.
I got Barea. I got little man Barea. I'd even put Jason Terry over him. Pause. I put Jason Terry over Tyson Chandler. I'm not saying that Tyson Chandler wasn't a factor, but nowhere near was he a factor to the degree that I was talking about that centers in the past were.
No, I agree with that, but I'm saying like it's not like that was a weakness for them.
No, and I'm not saying Chandler was a bum. He only showed bum tendencies this past season with the Knicks. And
I don't even blame him for that. New York is toxic.
Yo, I'll never forget. You know why I don't like New York teams? Is because of how y'all did my man Randy Johnson when he came out there to pitch for y'all. Y'all ran the GOAT pitcher out of your city because y'all nitpick about everything. It's trash.
No, look, Tyson's got to play next to Amare and Carmelo, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, both trying to chuck the ball up. If I'm a defensive-minded player, like, I'd have him on suicide watch. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Yeah. Anyway. So that leads us to, you know, let's talk about Dwight.
So, Dwight.
Let's talk about what this does for the Lakers.
So, we all sort of heard, you know, that the Lakers might be trying to get Dwight. I don't think we assume that they'd be able to keep Gasol.
Yeah, it was a given that they were going to get rid of Bynum and Gasol.
Or that at the very least, they were going to have to take back some really bad contracts and stuff. They didn't. They got nothing. Like, if I'm understanding this correctly, they traded. They ended up having to trade some scrubs off the bench, right? They got rid of.
I think they got rid of Josh McRoberts.
All right, so he's actually. I think he has some potential. But still, you give up him in a heartbeat. If I understand, it seems like they basically gave up Bynum. A future number one that's going to be in the late 20s at least.
Like 2017 or something like that.
And Josh McRoberts for Dwight Howard. Is that the trade?
For the number one center in the league. Yeah.
I think Bynum's closer to Dwight than people give Bynum credit for. But
when he I don't want to say when he's motivated, because I think after 7 or 8 years in the league, if you're not motivated by now.
I think the gap isn't as big as some people might lead you to believe, but Howard's still better.
Sure.
Especially since they have Nash. What's ironic about this whole thing is this now becomes a team that possibly operates better without Kobe?
Absolutely.
Because you can just see this, right? You're going to have Gasol on one side. You're going to have Dwight on the opposite block, down low, ready to catch lobs from Nash. Gasol is going to space the floor and be able to hit that little mid-range J. Nash is going to be able to do what he wants. And what's Kobe going to do? He's not going to want to be a spot-up shooter. He likes the ball in his hand. So what, are you going to leave? You're going to have Nash turning into a spot-up shooter? Like, come on.
Nash can shoot, though.
Well, he can, but what I'm saying is, but he's the preeminent, he's like the best ball handler of the last,
He is the quintessential point guard.
He's the best decision maker over the last 20 years?
He's up there.
Like, how do you not have the ball in his hands? Especially, and to talk about the Olympics real quick, you could see when Kobe went into, I'm the old man and I'm going to shoot this ball mode.
Yeah. Go to hell, ball.
Oh man! There were times where he would just take it, and I'm like, "Oh no, he's going to do it."
And he was doing that in the Denver series this year, though.
Yeah, he gets like that.
Yeah.
Because he can't drive by too many people anymore.
He Kobe goes into, and I'm telling you, I'm not going nowhere, bro. He goes into you're gonna love me mode.
Yeah. The Lakers, though, you know that's. So they've had stacked teams before. You know, yes. People forget when they had Shaq, I mean, yeah, they won three titles? Three titles, right?
Yeah, I want to say they three-peated, yeah.
Yeah, they had three titles, but, I mean, they should have won more. They had Shaq in his prime.
Shaq in his
obliterating
prime.
People. You had a young Kobe before he knew he was Kobe, when he was – but he had a better all-around game.
They had Tyra Banks, K-O-B-E, Kobe.
They had Kobe with the fro.
Yes. They had fro Kobe. They had Audi Adidas Kobe.
Oh, man.
I know.
In like 99, I hated the Lakers, but I wanted a Kobe Bryant jersey.
Sure.
Because he was Kobe. I think it's just, you know, we got to see how that team meshes. That team honestly, it's really up to Kobe.
That was my point. I think that they have to change the game up. Number one, they're not winning anything with Mike Brown. Period.
Yeah, he's going to be a problem for them.
He's got to go. Kobe's got to rock and jock player coach it. He has to.
What's Fish doing? Bring him back to be the coach.
Yeah. He didn't re-sign. I don't know if he re-signed with OKC or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
He you know he'd come back in a heartbeat.
You can't have Kobe be the player coach because it's going to be the end of the game and he's going to be doing things like, all right, so I want Gasol to stand on the opposite end of the court just in case, you know, something happens. And I'm going to need Dwight. Dwight's going to set like five picks in a row for me. He needs to burn a little calories here. He's getting fat. He needs to run around the floor. Like I wouldn't trust Kobe to diagram a player. Are you kidding me? He seems like the least fun player to play with ever. Whereas Nash seems like the most fun player.
Yeah. He plays soccer. You ever met a disgruntled soccer player? I haven't.
Kobe plays soccer too.
He's played real soccer though. Nash plays like barefoot, Look, on the sand soccer.
Nash is Canadian. He can't help but be nice. Like, it's all good.
I know. Shout out to Toronto. I got to get up there next year. Yeah, I mean, like, they have to change up their entire game for Kobe or for that team to exist. They have too many weapons for Kobe to play go-to-hell ball. They have to have Nash be the point guard and make the decisions. They have to bring Kobe in and allow Kobe to be Kobe. Because Kobe's not going to fall back and say, he said this is Dwight's team, but whatever, get out of my face. Yeah, he said that.
I don't believe that for a second. Nobody believes that. I mean, remember, like, when LeBron and Wade joined forces, for that first year, they were sort of playing the, well, it's kind of Wade's team, but it should be LeBron's team. Like,
yeah.
That stuff kind of matters. And I will say the one thing they have going for him is, like, you don't need to run your offense through Dwight. In fact, it might be better if you didn't.
Absolutely.
So, like, Gasol's going to still get touches.
We talked about Ron.
Who?
Queensbridge.
No.
What you mean no?
No.
He can kind of shoot.
I hope the only thing he's doing this summer is standing in the corner practicing that three-point shot, because that's all he should be doing.
Yeah.
Because that shot is going to be wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's good. That's still a threat. Because he's a three. He could potentially play a small four because he's stocky, he's bulky.
Yeah.
So you get a four out to that perimeter to play D? Yeah, right. That frees up the middle.
I mean, assuming it's a traditional four.
Yeah, assuming it's a traditional four, but I'd say a good chunk of the league are traditional fours.
I don't know. I'm not sold on. I think he's, you know, you could live by Ron, or you can die by Ron. Like, I don't know. I think he could be that role. I think he's a little miscast for that role, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's just all be thankful they don't have Ray Allen. Because you could just stick Ray in the corner. What Ray's going to do in the Heat, but it's even crazier because, you know, the Lakers are going to be so, you know, they're going to have that traditional big man who you have to double if he touches it. And then,
unless you're OKC.
Assuming that Perkins can still be Perkins.
And assuming Perkins can still be Perkins and they don't get rid of him before the end of the season. I don't foresee them doing that, but you never know.
OKC is interesting because they have the only lineup that can both go against LA and Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't, unless they just magically, like, Rookie of the Year, Angels in the Outfield, the Sandlot come together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see them winning the championship. Like, when I was in the military, we had the best players on base. We played the rec league or whatever. So all your squadrons playing the league. We had the best team, like, just based off of, okay, the best center, the best power forward, the best point. We had the best team. However, we did not gel at all. And we got our behinds whooped. So I very much see the Lakers doing that a lot.
Yeah.
I still just see them off of raw talent at least getting to the Western Conference Finals.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't see any other team other than OKC beating them unless another team makes moves around All-Star break.
Yeah, what's interesting is, like, if the Lakers go out there and they've got Gasol and Dwight, then OKC can't go small.
Right.
Right. And that sort of takes away an advantage. And yeah, it's weird. So OKC is unique because they can go small and they can go big. The problem is, we know that their small doesn't beat Miami small. And I don't think that their big can beat LA's big. But against all the other 27 whatever teams in the league, they're cool. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they can do either. But in those two particular situations, I don't know.
Good point. I don't know. I think that this is going to be Durant's breakout year.
I'm sorry. He hasn't broken out already?
I mean, like, his, like, screw y'all, I'm going to win a championship year this year.
He's a scorer, though, man. I mean, I don't know. I want to see him play some defense. Like,
I just want to see him motivated. I want to see him be aggressive.
I think that's personality.
I think that is personality.
And I think that having Westbrook on the team means that he doesn't need to be like that, right?
No, not at all. Because if Westbrook was controlled, then yeah. But if Westbrook made good basketball decisions, then no. But Westbrook is like your little kid that you always have to like. He's always running in the house with a bloody nose or a black eye because somebody beat him up. And you have to go outside and you have to fight the big kid who beat up your little brother. And then after you beat up your little brother, you find out what happened. You find out your little brother is the root of the fight. Like, he picked the fight. You got to beat him up too. Come on, he wore a mohawk to the Olympics. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I mean, but did you see what Harden was doing?
You know what? Honestly, I didn't hear anything about Harden. All I saw was Harden get his ankles broken, but I didn't see a whole lot of Olympics.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, he had like the faux hawk plus beard combo.
Look, man. I know beard season is coming up. Isn't it September beard or something like that? Is that what y'all normally do?
Y'all, like white people, is that what you're saying?
Nah, period. Oh, okay. Period. September beard. I mean, beard season is all year round.
I mean, we got no shave November, but like
Shave November. That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. So I know. What did he say? Harden said he wasn't going to shave until they won a championship.
Dude's going to be looking like Big John Studd with a beard. Like,
he's going to look like that episode of Simpsons when Mr. Burns became a germaphobe.
Or like where Peter Griffin grows the beard and he's got the birds living in it and they're like,
yes. And he's going to be like the Harlem Globetrotters cartoon where the dude had the like basketball goal in his afro. He's going to be that guy in reverse. So
anyway, anything else you want to say about basketball?
No.
All right. Olympics. You said you didn't watch too much Olympics, but the gold medal game was great.
I saw the first quarter. I saw my man Rudy knocking heads off.
Spanish team, man. They just look like a bunch of punks. I just want to beat them.
I don't like Rudy's haircut. His haircut makes me want to fight him. He just has a comb that like comes out. You know how like what weapon is that where you just like flick your wrist and it just comes out?
I don't even know.
Balls. And like.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a short clock radio speaker.
But like, it just seems like he like flicks his wrist and like a comb just comes out and he just parts it back with one hand and smooths it with the other. And he bounces up and down while he does it. So I don't know. But you got Mark. You had Mark. I love Mark Gasol's game. I love when him and Paul play together. Paul had 13 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, then he had one in the fourth.
Well, I'm sure the 13 points in the third quarter pissed a lot of Lakers fans off.
Why?
Because the thing is like, I saw highlights. So you got to give me off highlights. So correct me if I'm wrong because you saw the whole game.
Yeah.
But Paul was more assertive when he got those 13 points, right? Those weren't like putbacks and stuff.
When you decide to run your offense through him and you don't have Kobe Bean Bryant barking orders at you like a drill sergeant, I mean, maybe you play differently. That's all I'm going to say. I have no shortage of Kobe slander. After watching him in the Olympics, my favorite part of the gold medal game wasn't them winning. It wasn't anything. My favorite part of the game was there was one point Kobe was sitting on the bench. He was all the way over at the end, sitting by his lonesome. Nobody was sitting near him. Everybody else during big plays are all getting up and they're cheering. And he's just looking like not even the old man at the club. He's looking like I'm trying to think of a good. I mean, he just looked not even bitter.
It was what is that movie where the guy had the trench coat and he walked off into the sunset underneath all the night, all like the street lights.
I don't even know. But no, it was kind of sad, but you know, kind of heartwarming at the same time.
Heartwarmingly sad.
Oh, it was great. Man, forget Kobe. Anyway, but it was great. He was just all over there by himself, not talking. Like the rest of the team, there was like a camaraderie. I mean, he was the oldest guy on the team.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, they're probably listening to 2 Chainz and all that, and he's like, you know, trying to get them to listen to, you know, the song he did with Black Thought and Beanie Sings.
Oh.
You know, trying to get them to listen to like Philly's Most Wanted or something. Philly's Most Wanted. You turn up, Please Don't Mind.
I was thinking across the board.
Yeah, because that shit. Which one, the original or the remix?
I like the original or the Suckers remix.
The Suckers remix. That's one thing. Nah, the original version was goofy. I just remember Gloria Velez being in the video.
Here you go.
I know, my bad. But yeah, that album's goofy, man. Has some joints though.
Clips 0.5. That's what they were.
Yeah, they were. They were the Clips younger. They were like the Marcus Vick.
that's crude. They were I'm trying. There's got to be a better example than that. They were the maybe not. I don't want to compare anybody to Marcus Vick. Anyway,
they were Lil Eazy-E.
Oh man, y'all right there, man.
No.
All right.
I've been waiting on this episode all week.
Let's talk about some music.
All right, let's talk about some music, man.
Let's talk about your boy Nasir Jones.
Yeah, big topic. So, Dream Hampton. For those of you who know, she's a journalist. She's been around forever. She died. She was around during Biggie. You know, Biggie's whole time. She documented a lot of his life. She was originally, if you guys remember, Jay-Z was going to do a biography to go along with the Black Album. She helped write it, and then he canceled it because it was too personal. And then I believe she did help him with Decoded, right?
She did help him with Decoded. So she, okay. You know, some people might say she's not the most unbiased source here. I'm telling you, yeah. No, that Jay Nas beef still burns hard.
Sure does. Pause. It definitely does. It burns hard, yeah. that's what she said. So yesterday I looked through a timeline to try and see how it started, but I didn't want to go back that far. So she basically insinuated that J Electro Hypo Magnetic Force Field and Stick One of Dead Prez wrote Nigger. We'll just call it Untitled or The N.
Let's just say the Untitled album for the.
I'm gonna call it Nigger
for the sake of your white co-host here.
Yeah, sorry,
trying to make me uncomfortable.
Nah, you good, son? I told you, I got you. Somebody say something to you. Somebody say something to you. If you say it, you tell them to holler at me.
Anyway, I think the way it started was, someone tweeted something and then she responded back like something. Oh, someone said, "Why can't Jay make an album?" Like the Untitled album. And her response was...
Why can't she make a bad album?
Well,
why can't Jay make
they meant like, you know...
He's done that.
And she said, well, you know, Jay typically writes how he feels. And then she sort of slides in there, you know, Jay Electronica and Stick from Dead Prez wrote most, or I forget what the exact wording is. And then someone else who's worked with Jay Electronica... corroborated at least the Queens Get the Money track being written by Jay Electronica.
That beat is very Jay. Well, I don't want to call it a beat.
He produced it.
Okay, there you go. So that mess of a track was...
I like that track. Definite. Man.
I like Joell Ortiz on it. Joell Ortiz made me like the song. But yeah, it was just...
And so, you know, there's been a lot of discussion. Rumors about stuff like this have sort of floated around for a while. Apparently, I never really heard him, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've always heard of Nas writing for people, but I've never heard of Nas actually having writers.
Yeah, that seems kind of crazy. At first glance, and in fact, a couple weeks ago, I guess on Big Boy's radio show out in LA on 106, someone he got asked about ghostwriting, and he categorically denied it.
Okay, so that's what that was, because I saw some links to Nas being ghost.
Now, if you watch the video, like maybe I might be overanalyzing, but you watch it when the person asks about that, he pauses for a second and then goes, "Why are you asking about that?" Like, and almost to sort of like it wasn't a no, never, never, nah. What are you talking about? Like it was, I don't know. And again, I'm over, you know, over.
You're getting your conspiracy theory on?
I mean, here's all I'm gonna say.
You're tapping your chin with your finger.
Here's all I'm gonna say is that I would be surprised. At this point, I just rightly or wrongly, I assume that every rapper who has been around a really long time with a deep catalog, I don't think that every single one of them has written every single verse that they've ever done.
Absolutely.
Even if you want to broaden that definition and say, I don't think that, I mean, so like some people will say, okay, well, you know, what if you're just influenced by it, or what if like you got the theme from it? But like, I don't know. I think that writing is a much more collaborative experience than hip hop has been prepared to accept. And we've talked about this before. And I think that, I mean, just the fact that we call it ghostwriting, right? I mean, that exists because sometimes people's names aren't in the credits. Although I will say, you know, if the person's on the hook, then they get credit for the hook, so you don't know who wrote what. And if they produced it, then they're going to get a writing credit too, and you don't know if they wrote anything at all. So calling it ghostwriting actually might be a stretch if the accusations are true, because they are credited, but we don't expect them to be credited in that way.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the way that they're credited. Right.
And so now, I mean, I'll just say that I think that when people are in a studio, I think it's much more collaborative than people want to think, right? There are some people who will take it a step further and just outright tell you that your favorite rappers aren't writing a lot of these verses.
I'll be that guy.
All right. I figured you might be.
I'll be that guy. Listen, Clock Radio speakers. This is this week's listen segment. All right. So those of you who know that I rap, that I make music, right? Last year, I dropped, Jesus, like 10, like 8 or 9 or 10 projects. How many projects I dropped? And then in addition to that, a bunch of freestyles and a bunch of guest appearances on people's, you know, records and stuff like that. I work a 50-hour-a-week job, okay? I'm also a parent, and I also got other stuff going on. I'm, you know, active in my church. I got, you know, I live life. I go do stuff. And I'm lazy and I'm a homebody. So, like, you got to factor in the fact that these people are human at the end of the day. Like, this is the thing about fans that they don't want to accept. Like, people think that because they make music, they want to talk about music every day, all day. So, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're on Twitter and you want to ask Nas what he was thinking about when he wrote the verse on Last Days from Nostradamus. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Leave him alone. He's probably asleep. Or he definitely, I know I don't want to talk about rap at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday night. Like, in some instances, you got to think about it. When you go in the studio and you watch these videos where all these artists are in the studio and they've got entourages of people, like, do you think they're all just sitting there? Some of them are. But you think every person in there is just sitting there? Those videos are those pictures of Fat Joe, Mos Def, Kanye, Jadakiss, all those songs. Like, do you think they were just like, hey, we're all just going to hang out and we're just going to hang out in the studio and share stories? No, they were all writing. They were all writing for each other. Would you be surprised if that Pride and Joy song that Fat Joe has with all them singing on the hook hilariously? Like, you don't think Fat Joe maybe might have had some credit for that? Because Joe's had a history of having ghostwriters. Pun wrote Don Cartagena. Why else would Joe keep Armageddon and Triple Sace around for so long? Well, there's friends.
There are some people. There's lots of situations where people accept that, right? People, rightly or wrongly, I think people realize that. A lot of people realize that Kanye has help. He's never denied it, though. You go look at the credits. There's a lot of people listed.
Yeah, I mean, it's common knowledge that Rhymefest wrote the coherent, relevant verse of Jesus Walks, and Consequence wrote a lot of Kanye's early stuff too.
And if you go, like, even if you go look at, you know, even 808s and Heartbreaks, like, he had Jeezy helping out on tracks where Jeezy's not rapping. Like,
you mean that Kid Cudi album? Yeah.
But I think the difference here is there's a certain tier of MC where people just can't even comprehend. Right. If you're a good enough rapper that you're ghostwriting for other people.
Yes.
People can't comprehend, because to them, it's not, they think that people don't get ghostwriters, not for the reasons you listed, where people get tired, people get lazy. Maybe people have a lot of projects.
People are busy.
Maybe someone who you know, who you're in the studio with, just had a really dope verse and you thought you might sound good on it. People assume that ghostwriting, that's not why it happens, but it happens because you're not a good rapper. And that's not true at all.
Absolutely.
Right. You have terrible rappers who are writing for them. Because I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about him later. I hope nobody's ghostwriting for 2 Chainz.
But I bet money that 2 Chainz is ghostwriting on that Cruel Summer album.
Oh, my God. I'll put the house on it. Don't even say that.
I also heard, I think Sci-Hi has replaced Consequences. Kind of the ghostwriter for good. I wouldn't be surprised if Sci-Hi was writing Pusha T verses. I wouldn't be surprised if he was helping out.
Now you're offending me as a man.
See? But that's how people are feeling about Nas. Like, people are acting like there's a certain, you said, you're right. There's a certain tier of MCs who can do no wrong. There's Pac, Big, Jay, Eminem, Rakim, Nas.
And I would, this might sound blasphemous, but I would say that I think Rakim deserves to be there, but his glory days were a long time ago. So yeah, he's like, not really, I know. So he's not often included in that conversation. And Eminem, if anybody were ghostwriting for him, that would just be, I mean,
I
wouldn't
be surprised if Royce.
I was going to say, some of those Royce records, you never know.
Royce, maybe even Proof a little bit here and there. I wouldn't be surprised. Nobody else from D12, not at all.
But yeah, but M is off. He's often considered, but you know, the two, when you talk about, you know, if you think the last 20 years of hip hop, you think of two groups of people. Well, not really, but there's if you're just thinking pure MCs, right? There's Big and Pac and there's Nas and Jay.
Yep.
If you were to have a Mount Rushmore of hip hop, I think you'd have to start there, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even just talking about pure skill. I'm talking where the positions that they hold in the culture.
Yes.
Right. So any one of those four, right? Any accusations and stuff like that, and people flip out. And then even if you go drop down a level to just whether it's on popularity or whether it's on skill level, like people who are regarded as legendary dope MCs, like there were rumors for a while that Superb ghost wrote some of Supreme Clientele.
Absolutely.
Right. I don't necessarily know if I believe that, but
I gotta hear. I couldn't reference a bar from Superb.
Yeah.
I just know he was the guy from Theodore Unit with the big jacket and the Theodore Chipmunk cheeks. That's the only pause. It's the only thing I know about.
But no, I think, you know, if someone came out, you know, and said, hey, you know, I've got proof. I don't know how they come up with this. I've got proof that I, you know, wrote, I don't know, whatever songs for Jay-Z. Like, I think people would flip out.
Ja wrote Jay-Z's verse on Can I Get Her? That should be common knowledge.
I don't even really consider that. I mean, okay. I'm not mad at that.
In the morning, but I mean, come on.
We all know that he took Young Chris's flow in the whisper.
You know, Chris was writing some of those verses.
I'm sure he was.
No, you know, Chris and Siegel writing Jay verses.
I don't think Siegel wrote. No,
Siegel. You don't think so?
No, because he just doesn't have that kind of rhyme style.
Like lyrically, not style, but I mean, like, you don't think he'd be able to like flip bars up and rap like Jay?
In structure, I think you're giving Siegel a lot of credit.
I think Siegel deserves a lot of credit.
That's interesting. I think he's overrated as an MC.
We might have to bring retrospectives back.
But anyway,
when it gets colder out, it's too hot.
Yeah, it's too hot to be. Even though his best album dropped in the summer.
I can't listen to a guy who wears bandanas tied in the front and it's still hot outside. Not in 2012. Maybe in 99 years.
But you know what gets me is like, so it's not just like, so people who are like, who consider themselves to be really big Nas fans, it's not even like, I guess we're talking about Untitled.
Yes, thank you.
It's not like we're sitting here with AZ doing like taking lie detector tests and saying, yo, I wrote Take It in Blood. I wrote this. Like, nah, it's Untitled. Like,
I said it last night. Jay Electronica probably wrote the Roach song and maybe the Fried Chicken song.
You see, it's funny. People are now, if they do buy into it though, they're now picking out the songs that they don't even, they're like, well, you know what? I guess I wouldn't feel bad if I didn't have to assign that song to Nas's catalog. So and so can take that.
Yeah. Jay Electronica can't even write his own album. Get out of my face. He twit picking track lists from iTunes.
It could be worse. He could be tweet gramming them. What would you do if you saw a Tweegram track list?
Yo, I'm going to do that for Kairos. Just for that. I'm going to do that for Kairos. That is genius. And I'm going to tag it. I'm going to hashtag it Tweegram so I get a bunch of spam followers.
Oh, my goodness. The Tweegram track list. That's.
Oh, God. Tweegram.
Yeah, you want to?
I got some words for that dude. I got hands for that dude. Whoever made up Tweegram, I got hands for him. People, hands and feet.
Yo, people like that Tweegram.
Dog, get on Twitter. Get on Facebook. Get on MySpace.
These are the same people. You're not bringing MySpace. These are the same people who think they need Twit longer.
Oh God!
Like it's 140 characters for a reason.
Just split it up.
Just say less.
Yeah.
We don't need to hear all that.
Spell stuff wrong.
Nah. Just
spell people PPL.
Sharpen your prose.
Step your writing up. Oh, excuse me. Step your writing up. Get your bars up, son.
Get your bars up.
Just see, tweets up.
You could Tweegram some lyrics, and then you could go on Ustream and hold like the phone up like Drake in the BlackBerry video. Except you're reading off the
donut.
Except you're reading off the Tweegram, right?
Duh. Don't even start. Yo, I already got a Tweegram line too. I'm saving it. I already got one.
All right. So what? I mean, overall, like,
yeah.
I don't know if I think that. I think that for someone, you know, if you're a rapper and you're coming out with an album every year, and you're not the young, hungry rapper that you once were, and you need filler tracks for an album, would I be surprised if maybe not the whole song was lifted wholesale, but so you got a verse, you know, someone helped out on this or whatever, or it was more than just a hook? No, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Right? Maybe Sean Millennium thought it was writing some of them tracks, huh?
No. Jungle, maybe.
Come on, dog. You don't think Bravehearts was around? You don't think Horse was writing some of them? Face. You don't think Horse was writing some of them? Some of those Nas bars, man.
No, I don't, actually.
Yo, but we act like Nas, like every Nas verse is gold. That's not true. Nas has some stinkers.
Owe me back, like 40 Acres for Blacks?
Listen, man. I don't know if he had Beyonce in the video, though. Before Jay. I think that was wasn't that a subliminal? I heard that was a subliminal.
Look, there's a whole, I think people went back and they tried to, like, stretch that Jay Nas to include every single thing that the two of them ever did between the years of 1994 and 2003. It's like, maybe she just got in the video. They were on the same label. I don't know. Like.
Oh, they were. Maybe both, they were all in Columbia, huh?
I mean. Maybe she was smashing Ginuwine. I don't know.
Yeah, that's Ginuwine. Yeah, that's. I just found out about Ginuwine and Aaliyah the other day.
Speaking of Aaliyah.
Missy and Tim are not on that album.
Why does that surprise anybody?
Because somebody said that they were a week before.
Nah. Now that.
Where's Magoo in all this?
Where's Magoo? Yeah.
Where's Sebastian?
Somebody get Nicole Ray back. What is she doing?
Dog. What was the other chick? There's another chick. Wasn't there another chick that they had?
Probably. I feel like Missy had like a million like female rappers who were signed to her at one point.
Signed to her or signed to her?
Oh, okay. Bring back Miss Jade. Let's do that. I think I still know Nicole's verse from Make It Hot. I think I've said that before on the show. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, that song's dope.
Love it.
I should have rapped over that when I was doing Snooze Button. When I was doing Snooze Button 3, I think you suggested that.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, we gotta dig up. If I still do Snooze Button 3, which I would like to do, we got to dig up some of those old Timbo beats. Just Not Here We Come with the Spider-Man sample.
Yo, that's not that bad.
That beat is horrible.
It's not horrible. I
hated that song.
It's not horrible.
Duh.
And he gets a pass because he... Timbo in 99? That, right. That Timbo album had some joints.
Which one? Welcome to Our World or the...
Tim's Bio.
Tim's Bio did have some joints.
The Nas song?
The Nas song.
Fat Rabbit. The Twista joint?
Oh, I forgot about the Twista joint. Remember when Twista was relevant?
When Twista was relevant.
Remember when Twista was like the... He was like the guy... who like his parents will wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning to rap really fast for all their friends while they like smoke and drink. So he'd be in his pajamas, half sleep, like the twist to be spit in a river, and then he'd go back to sleep.
You almost slipped into the Indo's jeans flow for a second.
You know what, Doc? You know what, man? This is not what we came here to do. We didn't come here to talk about. we didn't come here to talk about that, man.
I'm just kidding. But you need to spit faster on occasion. You do. You need to switch into that flow.
I did some over the refill joint that me spitting kind of fast. I just ain't leaked it yet.
All right. So Twista had an interesting career, right? He had really two main sort of little peaks, right? So he, yep. 97, he was sort of a thing, and then
the Pope Pimp linen suits, the Chicago linen suit era, yep.
Right? And
they still do that, never mind.
And then he came and killed his guest appearance on Puff's album, and
Puff's album, and then Puff's second album too, right?
Yeah, there's one on Puff's first album.
He's on Forever. Yeah, yeah, because he did the Is This the End? Yeah. So that's the classic.
That's what I mean, yeah.
He killed something again on Forever. Or
yeah, he did. Is This the End 2, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway.
And then the, you know, of course, you know, slow jams and.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then he had that other sort of 2003, 2004 resurgence.
Yeah, the So Sexy, the R. Kelly joint. So
Sexy. Oh.
Oh God! They still play that song on the radio here in Ohio, Columbus.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So I just listen to the radio to see what they play, and then just once in a blue when there's nothing to do, they throw that on there. But yeah. So Nas, whatever. Okay. So what if he ghost wrote? If J Electronica and Stickman ghost wrote a terrible Nas album, so what? Nas has two, possibly three of the dopest verses this year.
Which would be?
In a dope album. Triple Beam Dreams. Hip Hop.
Okay.
The Hip Hop verse with Tardi. And I am a fan of the third verse on Queen Story.
No, he's got some dope verses. I mean, I'll give him that.
So, it doesn't matter. He didn't ghostwrite Illmatic. Might have had some help when it was written. So what? Who cares?
I don't even want. I know it's possible. It's
very possible. Trackmasters, The Firm, Cormega, AZ, Nature. Possible. Very possible.
Not Foxy, though.
Definitely not Foxy. She couldn't even add. She don't write a verse.
But see, here's the thing. That was ghost written for her, probably, right?
Maybe. Ha ha ha.
Maybe. Who we blaming there? It goes both ways.
Probably Nas, because Nas is fake deep to me.
It's because of Belly.
Yo, T, I got shot. What? Sin. I gotta go watch that movie now.
Going to Africa. Every scene we talk about going back to Africa. Oh man! In college, I think we turned Belly into a drinking game. Yo, that was great.
Word. When did y'all drink?
I mean, we pick things out. Like anytime Nas tries to act like he's being extra deep, take a shot, right? Every time you get the Hype Williams camera is low while the car drives by, take a drink. Like, you know, you can.
Oh man,
that game ended quickly.
Yo, that's one of my favorite movies ever. I dragged my dad to go see that. God bless my father. I had him going to go see some trash, yo. Remember, he bought me the Infamous tape. He bought me the Infamous tape, Mobb Deep's second album. And then, like, we listened to it in the car. And then, like, four tracks in, like, right before, what's the name of the joint? Give Up the Goods. He was like, he turned it off and he was like, Armand, what is this? What do you got me listening to? And he turned it back on. That's love. Black love. Can somebody tell me what black love is? Is it different from white love and Spanish love and Asian love? Is it just a different type of love? Like, why?
Did you just do that on purpose?
No, I didn't. I just thought about that.
I was gonna say, because you know I'm sitting here and I've been trying to figure out how to remix your song called where it goes, can somebody tell me what love is?
So like, I'm not doing somebody tell me what black love is.
I mean, maybe we could.
No, I'll do that and sell it to BET. I'll do that in a minute.
All right, we got off track. So We got. Let's talk about your man Hit Boy.
Okay, let's talk about some music.
Some music. So he's got a short mixtape. So let's give him credit for that.
Yeah, it was 10 tracks, 9
11
tracks,
something like that.
Okay.
Hit story.
Get it? History, hit story, hits story.
Sounds like a Michael Jackson album.
It's very Michael Jackson.
Not in the way it sounds, but the title.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect going into this. I heard Jay-Z interview. And we talked about that before.
Yeah.
I had no idea what to expect. What did you think of this? I mean, I can go track by track, but I'm guessing you don't have track by track notes.
No, but I've listened to it enough to have track by track notes. I'm actually pulling up the track listing right now.
So the opening track sort of serves this kind of the same purpose as Kanye's Last Call, but it's really like introducing himself to everybody, right? And you listen to this and you immediately understand where he got his rap style from.
He got his everything from.
Well, it's two people. He is one part Drake and one part Kanye.
You heard Drake on here?
I hear Drake all over this mixtape.
Okay. Yeah. Probably my favorite. That might be why my favorite song on the album is my favorite song on the album, because it probably would have been better if it was a Drake record.
You know, the opening track is cool.
Yeah.
Good track. And let me just say, it's about the whole album. Like, most of the time, these beats are pretty dope.
Yeah.
That's
not the problem with this mixtape.
Mm. So Brake Lights.
Brake Lights is dope.
Brake Lights is dope.
I would have liked to hear like Pusha T or somebody on this.
Yeah, I can hear that. But I think Hit-Boy's he's a decent rapper.
He's not bad. I wish he had a little more energy, though.
I wish he had a little more originality. Because, like,
that too.
I already have Big Sean if I want to hear someone sound like a bizarre hybrid of Drake and Kanye.
Oh, there.
But this is what we're going to see a lot of.
But he doesn't sound like them anymore.
Who, Big Sean?
Yeah.
No, I think Big Sean still sounds like that.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit. Although part of it is weird, too, because now Kanye sounds more like Big Sean.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
So
yeah, what's that? Oh yeah, we'll talk about it later. Never mind.
Yeah, so sometimes it's hard to tell where. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Brake Lights is dope.
Yeah, Brake Lights is cool.
The Big Sean joint option.
I don't like it until Big Sean gets on it.
This beat is kind of serious.
Yeah, I figured you would like it.
I like this beat. Why is this song not on the Good Music album?
I don't think any of these songs would.
Really. That's interesting. So you have really high expectations for this Good Music album then.
It's not that. It's just that these songs are really good mixtape songs.
Okay.
For good music.
All right.
For good music artists.
All right. But Option and Big Sean, like, that could be a little single for him.
That could be a satellite radio.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Possible world star video. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Start his buzz a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of videos.
Okay.
Your man had already put out like 5 videos.
Who? Which man?
Ross. Which man?
5 videos.
I mean, he put out a video. He got the 3 Kings
video. 5 videos since the last time we talked.
Right. I haven't seen the Amsterdam video, but apparently it has the chick from Notorious who played Faith. So, must watch. And that's my favorite song on the album. I've been listening to that album all day today. That album is really good.
I've been prepping for this podcast like a good co-host, so I haven't listened to the Ross album since we did the Ross episode.
Oh, well, you just gonna throw me under the bus like that?
No. I'm just saying I sacrificed myself listening to Dos Cadenas all day. Old School Caddy with Kid Cudi.
Nah.
See, at this point in the mixtape, I'm starting to get a little mad.
Why? Because
to me, this is too good to be giving away on a mixtape.
Wow.
Like, I like that. I think Cudi sounds really good on this. I like this beat.
I like the beat. I think, again, like...
You don't like Cudi.
Hit-Boy just doesn't sound... No, Cudi's not my problem on this song.
It's Hit-Boy.
Yeah, it's Hit-Boy. Like, it's not that Hit-Boy can't write, and it's not like Hit-Boy can't rhyme, but he can't rap. There's a difference between rhyming and rapping. So
I wouldn't say he can't rap.
There are points in this on this mixtape where I'm like... can you do that one over again? Can you spit that one again? Like, did he have somebody in the studio kind of telling him, like, make me care about some of these songs, some of these verses. Make me care when you spit. When you hear Ghostface on I Can't Go to Sleep, that's an extreme case.
Sure.
But you care. Even something like Kanye on Roses, he makes me care about that song.
Yeah, but that's a certain type of song. Like,
okay,
let's look at what we have to compare to.
Okay, okay. Let's give a more simple one.
All right.
When L.A. Reid does his skit on Maybach Music 4,
yeah,
I care. I don't know, but it just this verse doesn't really.
Is L.A. Reid?
Yeah, this.
I look, I understand what you're saying, but I also feel like you're sort of holding him to a standard that not a lot of MCs really get held to. Like, I think he's serviceable.
He's serviceable, definitely. Right.
Well, you're making him sound like the worst rapper ever.
He just started rapping like 6 weeks ago. So I'm not holding him that. I'm holding him to a high standard with these beats.
Okay. And some of these beats are pretty dope.
The beats are not the problem with this mixtape at all.
Okay.
At all.
All right. So we got Fan, which is a dope beat, but I don't really like the hook.
Yeah, it's the song is okay. The song is okay. It's a little too Afro-Americans in Paris for me.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I know you like She Belongs to the City.
Favorite song on the tape.
Because that's the Drake song.
Exactly.
I wrote that. Tons of Drake influence. That's what that was my notes on this song.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, BBM references, straight Drake.
Dope song though.
Yeah, dope song. Really dope.
East versus West.
No.
It was all right. I like the horns when they came in.
Yeah, I like the beat. Again, the beat. But it's just the concept of the song. Like, we just had an instance where, you know, everybody got on Drake for rapping on Aaliyah record, and he's like insinuating what Biggie and Pac were doing before they got killed. Like, can hip hop let go of Pac and Big, please?
Never, never.
Please?
It's never happening, man.
Let him go. Write a song. What was Pun doing before he died?
Look, just like my, you know, not even my parents' generation, because my parents are young, but like my wife's parents' generation, they're going to listen to the Beatles and talk about the Beatles and other rock groups from the 60s forever, because that's just how it happens, right? Like, Pac and Big are going to be like that for our generation. People are going to talk about Biggie for the next 40 years.
I'm not mad at them talking about Biggie. Just don't idolize the dude.
But that's how it goes.
Jesus.
I don't even know how much of this title we can say and still keep a clean rating on the show. Just call it Busta.
Busta.
Yeah. With Chip the Ripper and Bun B.
Struggle raps.
See, I like this song.
I like the beat.
I never thought I'd hear this Tribe sample screwed up.
Yeah, I've heard it screwed up before.
I never have. I like that. And I actually like Hit-Boy and Bun B on this. I know how you feel about Bun B.
Yeah.
The John Legend joint.
Somebody said he sounds like he looks like a mechanic.
That's wrong. No, Mac. Okay. Mac 10 looks like a mechanic. Come on.
Mac 10 does look. He does look like a mechanic. There's certain, like, just, you know, plump, stocky guys with like facial hair. They all.
I mean,
look
it
like
doesn't help that he's dressing like a mechanic. Like,
yeah,
I think that
like. Like not regular Dickies, but like Walmart Dickies.
Walmart.
Like my first day at like mechanic school.
Mechanic school. He called ITT Tech yesterday.
Yeah, like, right. ITT Tech Dickies. Right. Okay. So yeah.
The John Legend song.
Skip. Yeah.
Skip
very,
it.
Very skip.
This
is the hey, look at me. I got John Legend on a record. I don't care what type of record I get John Legend on. If I get him over for like farts and toilets flushing, like OJ the Juice Man, I'm putting it on my album. Hey, I got John Legend on my album. You can't tell me nothing. So that's what that was.
Jay-Z interview.
Dope.
It's cool.
I like it a lot better now.
I still can't get into it.
He's actually rapping on this. I love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air flip.
You know what my thing is like, it's weird to hear him not on his own songs.
Ah,
right. Like,
really?
I don't know. Like, if I haven't, like, I don't know. Like, I associate Hit-Boy with a certain sound now.
Really?
for his beats. You know, like,
what,
so
what, very Kanye Westy?
No, his beats. No, I don't know. He's certain. I don't know. I think he's got, like, this is very clearly a Bink. Like, this is very clearly to me not a Hit-Boy beat.
No, absolutely not. This sticks out like a sore thumb on this album.
Yeah,
that's probably why it's at the end.
Well, I mean, it's at the end because he made a video. For, I mean, why? I see what you mean. The last track is Running in Place.
I like this song.
The beat's weird, but it's kind of dope.
Yeah, it's dope.
It sounds like an early draft of an intro that Kanye would make.
Yeah.
That's what this
reminds
me.
Kanye was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And Kanye left the room and went to sleep. When he woke up, running in place.
Running in place. I think this is pretty good. To me, like, some of these tracks could, like, if you just take the beats and some of these features alone, like, I feel like at least half of this, if you were to, like, tighten up some of his, not even the writing, but some of his actual just performances, like his rap, like the way that he's actually rapping the album. I feel like if they, like, let's say hypothetically, they sort of gave him a choice spot rapping or two on the Good Music album. I feel like half of this could have been saved and tightened up for an eventual album. Like, I think some of these songs are good enough for that.
Wow.
But that might just be me. It was certainly better than this Mike Will mixtape.
Ooh.
Too soon of a transition?
Pew.
Nah, that's look. Fire. I like Meg Will, but this, you know, this is definitely a more traditional mixtape. Like, the Hit-Boy thing, that was an album.
That was an album. Yeah, I give you that, though. That is definitely, you don't hear a lot of mixtapes these days.
I don't really listen to a lot of mixtapes these days, but this is definitely a mixtape. A lot of stuff I've heard before. You know what? I didn't realize. I kind of like this 50 song on here, OJ.
I hate that song.
What? Yeah, I think 50 sounds good on that.
Yeah. Struggle. I don't know why I still have that Murder by Numbers mixtape on my phone. Like, I haven't listened to it. I listened to that album once.
To me, the problem with this mixtape is just all these beats start to sound the same.
No.
You don't think so?
You know what the problem is with this mixtape?
The rapping?
No.
What's the problem with this mixtape?
All these freaking drops. Like, that, I remember when that was cool. Remember when that was cool, like, in the early 2000s, where you would just get all your cool rapper friends, be like, yo, this is MC such and such, and you're not checking out my man Doc.
You're talking to someone who had Prodigy do a drop for him over the phone.
Like, yeah.
We had, you know... Remember I did a little mixtape that I would, like, go push around when I go to beat battles or whatever?
Yep. I remember that mixtape. I helped you out with that.
Yeah. Nice. I had a million drops on that intro. I had Sky Zoo. I had Spot. I had a million people on that.
Oh, snap. You had Sky Zoo. Where is Sky Zoo at?
He's still making records.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to Sky. Shout out to Sky. Salvation. I love the Salvation. It's kind of like dropped off, but maybe I just ain't been paying attention.
But yeah, I hear what you mean about the drops. But, like, nah, to me, like, I think Mike Will, I wanted to talk about this mixtape a little bit because I think the two beats that he has in the 2 Chainz project are interesting enough to talk about. So I want to talk a little bit more about him later, but let me just say that, like, I think the problem is, like, this, as you said, this is not as good as the first Mike Will mixtape. And for me, it's because these are sort of like, I don't know, these aren't his A+ beats, a lot of this stuff.
No, these are a lot of mixtape records.
And a lot of them just start to meld together and sound the same. And
it does have my joint on it, though.
What's your joint?
Turn on the Lights.
You know what I think Turn on the Lights needs?
Hmm.
I think it needs a dance remix.
Like a...
Yeah.
Like that, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, producer. Make that happen.
Yeah, because I make dance beats.
Can.
No, I think, you know, I think, I don't know. I think I was trying to be creative to try to salvage Future because I can't stand him.
Oh, man.
Man.
It's got that. It's got Bands That Make a Dance.
See, I think that record's overrated.
What? Jesus. Okay. Right.
I know.
You like OJ, but you don't like Bands That Make a Dance.
I said that. I think you like Bands That Make a Dance too much for me. Like, I think.
Yeah, that song is retarded. I actually hate 2 Chainz on this record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his verse is horrible. I'm glad they put him at the end. I like Wayne's verse, and I love Juicy J's verse.
Juicy J is carving out a really interesting sort of rebirth here.
Have you heard that? Did we talk about this last week? That Wiz Khalifa and Project Pat record?
No, I haven't heard that yet. Still,
that record is retarded. It's weird how I think we did talk about this because it's like it's weird because it sounds like a Wiz Khalifa record, but Project Pat sounds perfect on it. But those are two completely different artists.
They are, but I mean, clearly Juicy is the link, and I mean,
sure.
I don't know. Like, you say the words Project Pat, and I just hear I repeat back to you hungry hippo. Like
hungry for cheese, like hungry hippo. Yeah. Now I'll just
I can't take Project Pat seriously.
If I can find a girl who can rap along with me the last verse to Chickenhead.
I was actually just gonna say, I was actually going around the other day singing like rapping Chickenhead to myself.
Yo, you need some gum. Breath like some thunder. Yo, if I could find a chick like that, it's a wrap.
Armand's running to the jewelry store.
Son, we're running to the courthouse. But you don't need a ring to be my wife. Just be there for me, and I'll make sure we be living in the lap of luxury.
I was just gonna say, oh, here you go.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the main attraction of this week's episode.
Okay.
I had to force you to talk about this.
And I'm a 2 Chainz fan.
That's interesting.
I'm a fan. Let's not get it twisted. I've been listening to 2 Chainz since Codeine Cowboy. Just came out like in 2010, I think. 10, maybe. And I loved, I thought True Religion was dope.
Yeah, you liked that way more than I did.
Yeah, I like True Religion a lot. So.
Yeah, I like Spend It.
I didn't like Spend It.
So that's the best song on that. Yeah. I never really liked Riot as much as everybody else did.
That was dope. There's some joints. Got One, the Mike Will joint. The Big Sean joint was dope. The Gladys Knight record was very cool.
You had me going for about 2.5 seconds, and I was like, no.
Huh?
I'm glad you brought that up because I want to talk a little bit about his apparent weakness for weird samples like that.
I know what record you're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. So let's go. I want to go track by track. I want to treat this like an event.
Dun 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 dun.
Even
dun.
It's not really that good of an album. First up, we have Yuck featuring your boy Lil Wayne.
Easy F, and the F is for phenomenal. Even though phenomenal begins with a P.
And they produced, they broke Street Runner out of, I don't know, producer jail or wherever he was at.
That's who did that beat?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the beat is dope.
I don't like it.
What?
I think the song is generic.
I like the beat. I think Chainz is good enough on it. It's 2 Chainz. Wayne's hook is, I could really nitpick, like, if I could have been in the, I'm gonna pat myself on the back. If I could have been in the studio, I could have saved this record. like Wayne's verse has all the right elements, but they're just not done. Like,
no, this song is constructed very poorly.
It's I will say the hot potato part at the end is kind of funny.
I didn't even get that far.
Oh, come on, man.
And if I did, I didn't pay attention.
You would have remembered this.
All right. I guess I'll go back and listen.
But yeah, it's to me, this is about as good as I would expect from a 2 Chainz intro. See, that tells you how low my expectations are.
But Got One was such a crazy, I love that song. And then even on the last mixtape, his intro sampled Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
It was dope.
Okay.
Look at you, man. Look at you.
Yeah. Okay. Second track is Crack.
Generic.
Produced by Southside.
Yep.
Typical trap beat.
Yep.
Sounds like a fake Jeezy record to me.
Yep.
Nothing incredible.
Next.
Track 3 is Dope Peddler, produced by Bangladesh.
Oh, Bangladesh did this?
This beat is weird.
It is weird.
It straddles that weird line between dope and terrible.
Yeah.
But there's too much going on.
There is.
And 2 Chainz is not strong enough of a rapper to pull this beat off.
No, and the hook is really awkward.
Again. It is.
And it's weird
is.
Because 2 Chainz has good hooks.
Yeah.
He can write good songs. If a song is really, one of the themes and ideas of a song is you want to captivate an audience. 2 Chainz has the ability to captivate an audience. And 3 tracks in, he's not doing it right now.
Mm. So Track 4, No Lie, featuring Drake, produced by Mike Will and Mars.
I appreciate the crap out of this song now.
Let me just say, Clyde Radio Speakers, I was wrong. I was wrong about this track. I will come out and admit it. I didn't think this track was going to be a good enough single for him. Not that I didn't like it, but I didn't think it was really hidden.
You know, it was a slow burner.
It was a really slow burner in my defense, but I'll just own up and say I got it wrong because this week it's number one on the hip hop and R&B charts.
Mm. Yeah, but I think the charts now are kind of relative because it's like, what are they going up against? Each other? But
still.
The songs that they released 6 weeks ago?
Still.
It
knocked off Mercy, right?
Ah, yes. Yes.
So I'm just going to say, in the context of today's market, I was wrong.
Okay.
Right? And this song is better than I gave it credit for initially. The beat is dope. This is an A beat from Mike Will.
Yep.
I like the hook.
I do that a lot now. Do you do that now?
What's that?
You listen to a producer and you say you wonder what you kind of guess what batch of beats they gave the artist.
I've been doing that forever. I can't help but think that.
Well, yeah, because you're a producer. Yeah, I think about that with Justice League a lot. I think, is Ross the only guy who gets their A beats?
Because
anything that they produce outside of Ross is always like, it's cool. Okay. Like the hip hop record, like the Khaled record. That beat is very. Dang.
I haven't even heard it yet.
Oh, man.
I'm holding out.
You're holding out for a Khaled album?
I want to hear it all.
Wow. I can tell you right now, a bunch of runner's beats,
yep.
Ace Hood, and sparing uses of Rick Ross.
I'm sure. That's it. I'm sure. I'll probably break down and listen to it later this week. I don't know, man. We got a lot of stuff to listen to. So let me just say, yes, I was wrong about this, but in my defense, the success of the song is not because it sounds like a 2 Chainz typical single.
Not at all.
This is because of Drake and Mike Will.
Yep.
So here we are, 4 tracks in. And I wouldn't, you know, if you think about what made him sort of successful over the past 12 months, even longer, I wouldn't say we've gotten a big taste of that yet, right?
No.
Pause.
Not at all.
Ooh,
good catch.
Yeah. Pause. So track 5 is Birthday Song with your boy Kanye. And this is produced by Sunny Digital, Kanye, and Kanye's whole crew of musicians.
Yeah.
How you feel about this track?
This song is really unnecessarily busy. You know what this song sounds like? This song sounds like 2 Chainz, like somebody is prepping for a surprise party. That's what this song sounds like. So this song sounds like he's gathered everybody in the house and they're in this really small apartment. And everybody's hiding. So it just sounds like a bunch of feet shuffling to hide behind a place before 2 Chainz opens up the door into his apartment and they yell surprise. There's way too much going on in this, not in the beat, but in this song.
This sounds like it was left over from the Good Music album. Kanye sounds so much more at home on this beat than 2 Chainz does. And in fact, the busyness of the beat in the first part, like, I hear that, and the first time I listened to this, the first thing I thought of is, why isn't Big Sean rapping on this right now?
Yeah, Kanye fumbles over this beat. Kanye sounds like a really good SoundClick rapper. You know those SoundClick rappers?
Nah, I think he sounds good on this beat.
Nah, you know those SoundClick rappers who are like number one and would get like hundreds of thousands of plays? Like, that's Kanye on this record.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
You trying to hate on the SoundClick hustle, son?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm very well qualified to hate on the SoundClick hustle.
SoundClick hustle? MP3.com? MP3.com. Cannabis? MP3.com/cannabis?
It's an interesting choice for a single. It almost doesn't matter because No Lie has now picked up enough steam that No Lie is going to ride out for a little while.
Yep.
Plus, he's still picking up he's still releasing everything as a single, apparently. Who? Well, we'll talk about that. He already has another single out.
Who?
2 Chainz.
You talking about the stripper joint?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was just a reason to shoot a dirty video.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good because I want to talk about this as we go. Track 6. Let me make sure I pronounce this correctly. I'm different. I still put that middle E in there. Different.
Yeah, different.
Produced by DJ Mustard, whoever that is.
Really on a beat. Yeah.
That's the
same dude that did that's same dude who did Rack City.
The most exact
The most interesting part about this beat to me is that the piano at the beginning sounds like something that Nori would have rapped over in 96.
It does sound very War Report-ish.
And yeah. I don't think I haven't already experimented with chopping up that piano.
People are saying this should be the single. This is the song is the song on my timeline that people are like, yo, this is dope. I'm different's dope.
This isn't it. No.
It's super generic. I know.
It's not even super generic. There are some songs on here that are so obviously single choices.
Okay. But I want to talk about them. When you see them, point them out.
I will. We're coming up to one that you could if you wanted to, and that would be the Dream joint, Extremely Blessed.
You know what this record says to me?
It says that the Dream's been recorded in the studio.
Well, yeah, it says to me that the Dream's album is going to be dope.
Because this is a giveaway, right?
Yes, because it's not. This is the Dream. This is the Dream that I want to, you know, of course, a development in musical prowess from the Dream, of course. So I don't want this new album to sound like the previous four, but I still wanted to have the spirit of the previous four. So what this says to me is that he's out of that 1977 woe is me Christina Did Me Dirty.
She is.
Because she's just posting thirst traps on Instagram. Like, once you see your girl doing that, like just trying to get attention, you already won. Like, just let her be free. Let her go.
Let me just say, I like the Dream singing on this more than I like his beat. I think this is a really simplistic Dream beat.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, but, you know, bring back – I only care if Tricky gets credit on this. Then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. But if it's just a Dream, I'm cool with that.
All right.
Notice we said absolutely nothing about Two Chainz.
Yeah, you know, Two Chainz is okay on this. Nothing special at all. And really, the Dream dominates this track.
Yeah, he does. This is like the Mariah Carey and... Did you listen to that song
yet? I did. Meek isn't whispering nearly as much as you make him sound.
Oh, come on, man. Yes,
I thought he was pulling off the Gray Hover flow. Like, you know, it's not.
Take it lightly, had the dark in the flow.
It's not that bad.
It's bad, son.
You could tell that he did, like, you know, restrain it a little bit.
Yeah, he held back. These niggas won't hold me back. He did that.
You should try to go through a whole segment of an episode just using nothing but Rick Ross hooks. I think it'd be real. So what was weird to me about the sequencing, and actually I want to talk about the sequencing this at the end, but like, so you got the Dream singing about a stripper, and then you followed up with I Love Them Strippers with Nicki.
Yes.
Produced by Young Star, whoever that is. This is super generic.
Super generic. They did the one for one switch.
Yep. Bees in the Trap is better.
Would you ever imagine saying that Bees in the Trap is a better, like, Bees in the Trap is better.
Listen to this next sentence that I wrote down in my notes. Nicki predictably wraps circles around Two Chainz, and she's not even trying that hard.
No, this is a very throwaway Nicki verse.
Yeah, I think it is.
SV or whoever that is wrote that verse.
But still, Two Chainz can't even keep up with that.
Yeah.
Even
the hook on this is kind of like,
nah. Yeah, it's just not. This song doesn't really hit for me at all. This is a really, like, I don't know, between I'm Different and then the Dream joint's cool, but it's sort of out of place a little bit. And then I Love Them Strippers. And then we get this next track. Stop Me Now with Dolla Boy. This sample.
This sample is like.
SoundClick.
No, this isn't SoundClick. I'm trying to think
this
of
is a SoundClick
what
sample.
It reminds me of like. God, this is like. This is like a Soul Train record.
No, but in terms of like the way that even the way that it's sampled, it's clearly not like when all those SoundClick rappers were like, oh, I can be like the Heatmakers. Let me turn my pitch up to 5. Like, it's not like that. But it was clearly like the same thing where after a while, people were just sampling everything.
Everything. Yeah.
It's like, is it from the 60s or 70s? Is there a female singing? I need to loop this up.
Oh my gosh.
Struggle.
Some of those beats. Remember, I sampled
some of them, man. I had some struggles.
You had some struggle samples. No, remember the remember that joint that the Elwin did, the Saving All My Love joint?
Shout out to L
because L listens to the show. So shout out to L.
Oh, he's so mad at you right now.
I don't care. He'll be all right. Yeah, man, like he had this joint and it sampled Whitney Houston Saving All My Love for You. Not only did it sample it, sped it up, and I think it was like the 3/4 tempo, wasn't it?
Listen,
it
was I was thinking about bringing that back.
listen, man, there's a couple of Whitney records that you could probably get away with sampling. That's not one of them.
All right.
You sample I Believe the Children Are Our Future before this. Sample I Want to Dance with Somebody and turn into like a Big Sean type record. Like,
I was going to say, go four on the floor with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just gave someone an idea.
I did. I want my check.
But yeah, so we haven't really talked about the song. This is really skippable. Dollar Boy's on it, produced by Kano. It's just not really. Yeah.
Dollar Boy. Stop the presses.
Yeah, I got nothing really decent to say about this song. Totally skippable. Yeah, this is a low in the album. In an album that already isn't exactly full of high points.
Right.
Next up, you got Money Machine, produced by Drummer Boy.
Not mad at this beat.
This is a predictable trap music, but it's high quality predictable trap music.
Yeah, I'm not mad at this beat.
This is exactly what I sort of would expect out of a 2 Chainz album.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In terms of the hook, in terms of everything else, like it's not stellar, but it's not bad.
And I think it was buried.
It's buried a little bit. How do you feel about this track 11 here?
Mike Posner.
In town with Mike Posner.
I mean,
can I just say this? He's stupid if this isn't a single.
You think so?
This is the quintessential urban radio single.
Well, he's talking about having sex with a chick when he flies. Well, I guess
it's that whole fantasy image lifestyle that male rappers have been selling forever.
Yeah, I was just terrible. About to say, I kind of have to throw content out of the window.
It's terrible and predictable. I'm telling you, this will be blasting off at a Jingle Jam in 4 months. It's that kind of song.
Oh, man.
Right?
Mike Posner needs a... Well, I guess he doesn't need a look because he wrote Boyfriend.
This is never going to cross over, never be a big hit. But, if he wanted to sort of have a little bit more of a, sort of a curveball for that third official single, wouldn't be a bad idea.
Okay.
But let's talk about Ghetto Dreams.
Do we have... Okay. Can you ask me... Clock Radio speakers? What? Were you going to say something?
I thought you were going to say something bad about this song.
I am.
Okay.
Let me tell you this. Let me say this. Okay, the song is cool. It's all right. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about the actual song.
Uh-huh.
What is a ghetto dream? Are there suburban dreams? Are there upper class dreams? Well, like, what is a ghetto dream? Like, I've talked about this on the show. You rappers got to try a little bit harder with these song titles, okay? I Feel Good, Ghetto Dreams, Stop Me Now, I'm Different, Crack, Yuck.
Money Machine, What We Doing, Like Me, I Feel Good.
That turns me off to it. So and having Scarface and John Legend on it, I already think of the ghetto joint that they did like early in the 2000s. Mm. Remember that with Kanye and I think it was Smitty. Remember Smitty?
I remember Smitty.
Diamonds on My Neck.
He had that one joint. Remember he had that sampler that came out and it had the first part of that Ninth Wonder beat that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the song turned out to be not that great. That was
crazy
sad.
Ninth Wonder beat. You don't hear that too often. Never mind. But yeah, I guess that kind of reminds me of that when I hear John Legend and Scarface together, I'm taken back to that song because that song was really dope.
I was actually going to say, this is John Legend's better on this than he was on Ghetto. Mm. He's wailing about the ghetto here on that song. No, listen, this.
Yo, you said that so stuck up. You said that like you was like all like Romney'd out, like he's wailing about the ghetto.
Yo, I got my Romney Paul Ryan on.
Oh God,
we're not even talking about politics in the show. That could be like five episodes in a row. Anyway,
yeah, I know you would just go smooth off,
smooth off, smooth off. Listen, this beat is Carlos Brody.
Oh wow,
resurrected. Makes you like it more, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes me respect the record a lot more because it's Carlos 6 July Brody. If you don't know who that is, wow.
Just go to discogs.com and type in Carlos Brody. Or better yet, just pick up any Bad Boy release from 96 to 97.
Up there with Stevie J.
So Scarface on this is dope.
Yeah.
John, this is the best John Legend hook I've heard in a while.
We gonna be rich forever.
No.
Oh man, when you sing that, you sound like Randy Jackson trying to sing a hook on American Idol, yo. Like that was terrible. Quick. So, and can I just say, like this is to me, like I heard this, I was like, yo, this is a legit song, except for you know, 2 Chainz. Can I just say this? I mean, even a past his prime Scarface, who's been in the game 20 years, just obliterates 2 Chainz.
This is actually what Scarface should be doing now, what Bun B has been doing for the last 10 years.
Echoing himself? that was the LL Oop. That was great. You just did the Steve Nash for me. That was dope.
No doubt. I mean, in the instance of like, Bun B was basically whoring himself. You know, similar. I don't want to say as similar, not on a larger scale, but he definitely benefited off of Pimp C's incarceration and his death.
Oh,
absolutely. Oh. Nobody cared about Bun B until you kind of could say Big Pimpin. But I would say that Big Pimpin is more known for Pimp's verse than Bun's verse.
Huh?
You don't think so?
Bun's verse is so much better on that song.
I'm not saying which one is better, but which one are you going to quote? Smoking, pulling up, keep it lit up. And that's universal. So I'm not okay. Pun C.
Pun C.
I'm going to quit with my, I'm not even going to give the rest of my opinion. Just saying Pun C. We're just going to go ahead and we're just going to go to the next one.
Couldn't you imagine a struggle rapper being named Pun C?
Did you see Papoose?
I say struggle rapper. First person you bring up, Papoose.
Did you see Papoose got all 5 boroughs tattooed on his fingers?
So when he makes a fist, it's like New York. Never mind. I could have just made up a Papoose
line right there. I put the 5 fingers on my, I put the 5 boroughs on my fingers. So when I put them together, I write, I hip hop. When I hip, shot him in the hop with... Shot him in the hop with a Glock, now he hips. Like,
I like how when you make Papoose raps, it's like an old man making fun of rappers from like the 80s, like the like making fun of like Sugar Hill Gang. Like that's what that sounded like.
It's Pops from Boondocks responding to the Snoop Dogg diss, the Thugnificent diss.
But anyway, yeah. So real quick, back to this Ghetto Dream song. So can I just say real quick, Rick Ross needs to call up Carlos Brody right now.
Oh, he would kill that.
Right? Ross just needs to embrace his destiny to be a homeless man's 1997 Biggie. Right? Do it for the people. Right?
Listen, if Ross's next album is entirely produced by the original Hitman, I'm not mad at that.
He could even go like super meta and really ironic and sort of pull a Jay-Z American Gangster.
Yeah. Ross at this point, that's all he can do. He has worn this style out, and yeah, he has to do something else.
He needs a swerve.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Anyway, track 13, the last official track on the album, before we get to the deluxe tracks, What We Doing with Cap One, produced by Mike Will.
This is how you end the album?
Can I just tell you, he's stupid if this isn't a single.
Are you serious?
This beat is dope.
The beat is all right.
This beat is dope.
This is probably one of the worst. You just went through Mike Will's mixtape and called them all generic, and then you say this beat is dope?
What We Doing is way better than like 80% of that mixtape, at least. The hook is simplistic but catchy.
It's got Cap One on it.
And Cap One actually sounds all right on it?
Nah.
I think this is. I like this song.
That is a weed carrier verse if I've ever heard one.
Oh, man.
Nah, son.
He ups tempo with this, sort of tries to pretend like people remember him for being a Chicago rapper. Like, come on.
Does anybody remember those Cap One ads in us? I do, because
I remember. That's all I remember Cap One for.
He has some joints.
I like What We Doing. No. Can I just say, though, it's funny between this and No Lie. Like, at first I thought with No Lie, he was doing it because Drake's on it, but Mike Will is just straight up stolen. The Drake filter effect that T-Minus was using everywhere.
Yeah, like, am I the only one who thinks that T-Minus is doing what Boy Wonder was supposed to do?
Well, except what's T-Minus doing, really?
He just did My Moment. And he did the T.I. single, the Go Get It.
Okay.
You just asked what he was. You asked what he's
okay.
doing.
So all right, know. All right.
I didn't say they were good, but that Go Get It beat's not bad. It's not bad. I love the sample. The sample that they play at the end of that song is retarded.
I can't believe you don't really like What We Doing.
Nah, man.
Oh man.
I'm good.
I like that beat. Mm-mm. But you're right. It's a weird way to end the album.
Yeah, but, like if that's the original, like really.
So track 14. First track on the bonus is Countdown with Chris Brown.
Really?
It's dubstep. Kind really? Of. On a 2 Chainz record. This is really? An interesting... I could see... This is where a dubstep influence actually sort of makes kind of sense in the R&B world in terms of like how you really introduce it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah, because this record... This wasn't a collab.
No. This is a Chris Brown record.
This was a record pool record.
Yeah. It's weird to have this. I don't understand the purpose of having this as a bonus track.
You think it should be on the album?
I'm not. Look, it's not that I'm a huge fan of it, but like I could see a point where like if you were trying to say, I've got this sort of poppy sounding record with Chris Brown, like why sure. have it as a bonus? But that's never sure. stopped. Like, I mean, you know, Mirror was a bonus track on Carter 4, and that was a single for Lil Wayne. Like, I'm going to stop pretending sure. to understand what these rappers are thinking.
Sure.
But I don't know. You've got that I'm different. I love them strippers. Stop me now. Like you got that whole middle run there. I think, I don't know. You might've been able to find a place for this. Maybe.
Sure. I get that.
How do you feel about Like Me?
I think you should have produced this.
This Weekend sample, man. And that kick drum.
I don't know. Woo!
That kick
What were
is,
we doing?
I know.
What were we doing?
I mean, you mean aside
we
from
did a whole
Weekend?
Weekend album.
We did an EP. It's 15 minutes. Whatever. Anyway, no, this is dope. I
got some really interesting feedback on that today.
Is it the thing you put on Twitter?
Yeah.
The one person was like, nah, I didn't even listen to it.
Nah, it wasn't that. It was another guy who said that his first introduction, he tried to put somebody onto my music, and that's the first thing that he gave him.
Oh.
Yeah, so he responded like, what the hell is that?
Oh, that's too bad.
I mean, not even. I mean, just not on some. Oh my God, that's terrible. Like, it was just too bugged out. Like, you don't introduce somebody unless they like really abstract stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you don't introduce. Don't really. I wouldn't introduce. I wouldn't say, hey, listen to 3 Day Weekend if you've never heard me before, or if you've never heard Doc's music or anything like that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound like anything else I've ever done.
Nah.
But no, Like Me, I like this. I had heard this before, but it wasn't cleanly mixed and everything. Why isn't this on the album?
I don't know. I mean, it shouldn't be horribly difficult to clear a Weekend sample. I mean,
it's on the deluxe, so clearly he cleared it. Yeah, see what it did, right? I mean, so I know.
What do you think about the Weekend sounding a bad boy? It's not official. It's not official, but it's getting there.
They got something in Toronto about wanting to get robbed blind. Is that what's in the water up there? Because
I don't know.
Why would the Weekend? I have no idea. Now that being said, we've heard stories from rappers before. Like, you know, Puff's a legend. Puff gets you in the room. He tells you the plan. You know, I've never been in that situation, so I can't say. But you'd think Weekend would have some leverage. You'd think he'd have a lot of people wanting to sign him, right?
From my understanding, he did.
I mean, he kind of squandered that buzz. It's gone.
Kind of.
But see, he's the kind of artist where he could just come back out with another EP and the buzz is back.
Absolutely. And it's wide open.
Sure. He could. Yeah, he can come back any day. But he better not wait too long.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's doing aside from doing shows.
I think that's all he's doing.
Okay, they have these things called studios in the bus. Like, I don't get this, but you know, who knows? What else we got? We got the yeah. So when you first heard "I Feel Good," produced by Don Cannon, what was the first thing you thought?
This beat would have been crazy 6 years ago.
First thing I thought was, if I'm Young Jeezy and I hear this song, do I like immediately fly into like some rage, or do I like calm down first before I go yell at Don Cannon? Or like, how does this listen, work?
But Cannon was selling those 17.5 go crazy hybrids. Like, he made like 20 of those and sold them to a bunch of mixtape rappers.
I guess, but to me, it's different sort of because 2 Chainz is sort of where Jeezy was like 8 years ago.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
All right. Maybe not even that long. Maybe like.
I didn't really look at it like that. Yeah, it was 2005. So
I'm probably reading too much into it, but like I like this. I like the beat.
Nah, Don Cannon. This would have been dope. Like in the mid 2000s. This is how you feel about Saigon's album. Is how I feel about this record.
Mm. See, to me, like you put this like track 2 early on in the record. It's got that sort of bright feel to it. Sets the tone for the album.
Maybe the sequencing is a problem. Well, not maybe.
The sequencing is definitely a problem. It's a huge problem. This is all haphazardly thrown together, and then you get Riot at the end. I totally understand this as a bonus track. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Because it's already run its course.
Right. And they could have thrown Spend It on here too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. They could have taken whatever set, you know, if you're a. Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, for the first time, you know, 2 Chainz consumer. You could purchase this and, you know, you're on your way.
You'll get the records that you know them for.
But never. Absolutely. So what's missing from here is the 2 records that were on that Clue mixtape.
Listen, man.
How is Twilight Zone not on here?
As to that record doesn't sell. That has to be because maybe they couldn't clear that sample.
Florence the Machine sample.
Florence the Machine sample. Or maybe they couldn't. That record doesn't sell. But that record is retarded.
I mean, I guess that record doesn't sell, but, you know, is Dope Peddler going to sell? Like,
it fits with, I don't know, like 2 Chainz has this dynamic where he really wants to rap.
He does. He thinks he's a real rapper. Like, that was the funniest part about the mixtape.
Yeah.
So like the License to Kill joint, which we've slandered about 8 different episodes here.
What did he say? He said I wish a nigga would like a carpenter or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, something like that. But like, yeah, he really wants to rap. And the funny part is his verse on Twilight Zone is dope.
I would have even put Flossin on here. The other joint off the Clue, off of some of these other tracks.
I mean, I don't remember it too much to really comment on it. I was just stuck on Twilight Zone.
Overall, this. There's a handful of tracks on here that I'll go back and listen to at some point. But you know, over the last week, I've listened to this more times than I really should have. You know, to me, what's interesting is sort of the power of expectations. I think this is exactly what we all thought we were going to get from 2 Chainz.
Sorry, I was yawning.
Wow.
We've been talking about 2 Chainz for the last 15 minutes.
Wow. I said this is exactly what we thought we were going to get from 2 Chainz.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny though? I would have, from an artistic standpoint, it should have been flipped.
What's that?
So if this is the mixtape and True Religion is the album.
This is better than the mixtape.
No.
That mixtape has a lot of bad records on it.
But it has a lot of good records too.
You don't even like Spend It.
I don't like Spend It.
That's the best record on the mixtape.
It's generic. Oh,
God. But to me, I think expectations are just really interesting here, right? I mean, we were talking about Ross earlier in the month, and you know, we're talking about 2 Chainz now, and Ross's album is better. But to me, and I realize I'm probably a minority opinion, I think 2 Chainz's album matches the expectation better than Ross's album did.
Yeah.
And I think
but expectations, they had different expectations though.
That's what I'm saying. I think that is a weird, like, I think this album is exactly what this album is very appropriate for where 2 Chainz is right now.
Yeah.
It may have even outperformed my expectations a little bit, but that's how low my expectations were. And that's not really fair, but that's life.
Yeah.
Were you expecting more or less out of this?
To be honest, I don't even know what I was expecting. I don't know. Who knows?
You're just mad I made you talk about 2 Chainz this long.
No, it's not. Again, I like 2 Chainz. Like, I'm not mad at 2 Chainz. I'm not. I'm really not. This album was just extreme. It's not even bad. It's just underwhelming.
Mm.
It's just, nah. And I would much rather an album be hot or an album be trash. When an album is, nah, that's the worst.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm totally cool off of probably about 90% of this album.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like if you sequenced it right, you could get a decent 12 tracks out of this.
Oh, 1.5 it. Well, Doc Stradamus.
I was looking for it on Spotify earlier. I couldn't find it, but
it should be on there by now.
I looked this morning. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, it's weird. The feed from it takes a little while. Like I'm realizing like. An album will be on iTunes and Amazon and all that. It'll be on digital retailers, but then it won't be like sometimes it won't be on there till later on that day, like afternoon.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of weird. You fix that.
So, what is this set? Does this set up 2 Chainz to do? What's next for 2 Chainz?
Between this and the Good Music album, he's good.
Oh man, I hope he's not on that too much.
I don't know, but you know he's obviously Kanye is actually. Kanye has him above Sci High. So, you know.
I'm not 100%. Not really that's not surprising.
Yeah, Sci High kind of.
Sci High doesn't get you anything you didn't have before.
Yeah, true.
2 Chainz is at least a different element.
True. But I don't necessarily. I think between this album, because I don't like it, I don't like this album, but this album is going to be successful. I'm not even going to deny it. I am definitely in the minority when it comes to me not liking this album. I totally am. But this album's going to be successful for him. So between this and him being on the Good Music album and even the Good Music affiliation, he's fine.
All right.
He's fine.
Do you think he sort of jumps up to that next level, or do you think he sort of stays where he's at for a little while?
He stays where he is.
He's not going anywhere.
Nah, he stays where he is until they find a new rapper. You know, they'll find somebody else to jock next year. Somebody will be on everybody's record next year.
So this is one thing that I realized.
That's what he needs to fall back from.
This is what I realized listening to the Mike Will mixtape and then his two records on here is, to me, Mike Will's now at the point where he sort of needs to pull a Pull of the Dawn and go find a rapper for himself.
Oh, man. Shout out to Rich Boy.
Right.
What was that one beat? That he gave Rich Boy.
Well, there was Throw Some D's, but...
Yeah, Throw Some D's, and then there was Boy Look At Here. That was dope. But there was one that was real grimy.
I can't even
It kind of had a bounce on it, and the video was really dark. That song was retarded. Anyway.
Right, like, I think he's sort of at the point now where he's a big enough producer where he can go... I mean, he's not going to go get, like, a vanity label or anything. He's not that big, but he's big enough now where he can go get another rapper and sort of, you know, package that as a thing, right? I think that's sort of the next move for Mike Will, and that really became apparent to me, like listening to this, because, like, you know,
who's his artist? Future?
Is that his artist?
No, I'm just asking, like, who's the artist that he takes and works with?
Oh, I think it's somebody we don't even know.
Okay,
that's how these things work. He could start. He could start right now, and in 18 months, this dude could be the next 2 Chainz. It doesn't take that long.
No, it doesn't.
That's what's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, they probably, whoever it is, probably already has a hit record in Atlanta right now. And we don't know about him.
Atlanta is its own microcosm of music, man.
It's so crazy how some cities are. But I used to love that, how music was. Like, I would go to a city. I've done it in Atlanta. I've done it in even Miami was kind of like that. Definitely done it. Huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely.
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely in Chicago and definitely in Houston, where the artists on the radio, you have no idea who they are. They don't even play your stereotypical top 40 hip hop artists. Like, they play homegrown and that's it. I love that. When St. Louis used to do that a little bit, too. I love it when cities do that. But they don't really do that anymore. But Atlanta still does, though.
Yeah, they've got enough artists where they can do that.
Yep.
All right, so anything else you want to say about 2 Chainz?
Nope. Get me out of here.
Are we good with this week?
Yep. No, right. No. We still got to do. We still got to talk Lupe.
Oh. You okay? I'm gonna defer to you on this.
Okay, let's talk Lupe just real quick because I don't really want to talk about the song too much.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about what he's doing for Food and Liquor because this is his third single.
This is not a single. This is a leak.
Whatever. Third leak from Food and Liquor. So first lingle. See, look at you, man.
Lingle. That's the new word.
Punsy. It's lingle.
That's the new word. It's kind of a leak, but if it's successful, we might make it a single. It's a lingle. I like it.
That's in the same vein as Zuvi. and what's the other joint? Grussel.
Oh man, listen.
Yo, you rappers, man.
You rappers. No, look, I... Oh, man.
Okay, so he's put out three lingles.
It's true. That's exactly what...
It is, because then they'll front, because if it's successful, then they'll say, oh, yeah, that was the single. What do you mean? It's very... not Frank Grimes. It's very Hank Scorpio. When he was like, I didn't even give you my coat. And Homer looked away, and he had his jacket on backwards. Like, that's what these record labels do. So if it's successful, it's a single. If it's not, it's a leak. So Lupe did the whole Around My Way, Freedom Ain't Free joint with the Troy sample. Then he put out the Be Bad record, which, you know, again, both of these records were like known for other stuff other than the actual song. Then he puts out this record last night called Lamborghini Angels, which has a lot of, it's very layered. If you go to rapgenius.com, it kind of has some of the stuff that's right. A lot of it is kind of debatable. I don't want to necessarily say wrong, but, you know, third verse is obviously talking about, you know, Catholic preachers molesting kids, obviously. But the bigger picture that I really want to talk about, because the song is cool. The beat is dope. But what I really want to talk about is what Lupe is doing with Food and Liquor 2.
All right.
Lupe at this point is entertaining himself.
Yes. It's very indulgent.
Yes. Yes. Like Lupe is super, hey, look at me, I can rap. Like he's how many ways can I fool or confuse my entire audience? Because he has his audience wrapped around his finger so tight that where everything that he does is just this cosmic sea of intelligence. I was like, oh my God. But like, nobody knows what he's talking about. Cause everybody is like, oh, the Lamborghini Angels record. That's amazing. Okay. What did he talk about? Well, I don't know. I heard the record like two or three times and I had to go and actually see the lyrics. And I'm like, oh, okay. And even now I'm just like, eh. So at this point, Lupe is very self-indulgent, very much smelling himself. And I don't like it. But I mean, at this point, what can you do if you're Lupe Fiasco?
What do you mean, what could you do? He's got a lot of options. He's got a built-in loyal fan base who's sticking by him even while he's making records for himself. Like,
after he's rapping about water on being over the BMF beat.
Like, I don't know. Clearly, he doesn't want to go pop. I get that.
He's trying to make up for Lasers.
Yeah, and the way you make up for Lasers isn't by going in the other direction. It's just by making good music.
Exactly.
Right?
This is like he bought the flowers, and then the girl said she was sorry, but then he like buys her a car, he buys her a house, and he takes her out every night, and he like kisses her butt, and he just keeps saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then that like makes her so mad that like it seems like she doesn't accept his apology that she turns on him.
You know how you make up for something in a relationship? It's not by keep doing the flowers and everything and saying the same thing. It's by being a better person.
Oh,
right. So if you screwed up as a rapper, and as long as your fans are with you, and you know, he's essentially, I mean, he really has apologized, but he's, you know, okay, we get it. Lasers wasn't your vision.
Yeah.
We're ready to move on.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want the rest of your career to be defined by, well, Lasers is over there and I'm going over here. Like, why don't you define your career as whatever happened, happened. I'm going here, wherever that is.
Yep.
Right? He's still sort of trapped by what has happened before.
Yep. He's got those arrested years. Got to get rid of those arrested development braids, too. Those are holding him back.
The Dwayne Wayne flip-ups?
Oh, man. I'm not mad at those. I'm not mad at him. But it's just, it's like, hey, look at me. Like, everything about Lupe. I'm a big Lupe fan.
You don't sound like it right now.
I don't, because at this point in 2012, I'm not. Because everything he does is like, hey, look at me. I'm doing stuff. It's just like, come on, dog. Like, just, yeah. Follow the advice of Dr. Doc. Be a better person and make good music.
Like, what? Oh, let me ask you this. I mean, if you could have him work with one producer or set of producers right now to get his career back on track, who would you have him work with?
Soundtrack. And Prolific. The produce. His problem isn't the beats. I'm not mad at any of the songs that he's done. It's just the manner that he has, not the manner he's presented them. Like Superstar. It's not that Lupe is just now all of a sudden writing these intricate records. Lupe's always wrote intricate records. We talked about that on the retrospective, which you can get at clockradiospeakers.com.
Bam. No, but he's writing intricate records, not because he wants to write a dope record and he's going to make it intricate. He's writing intricate records to prove that he can continue to write intricate records.
Absolutely.
It's self-serving.
Absolutely.
It's a showy, it's the showy beat problem.
Showy beats. I think that's so, because I could just hear like a producer like, yo, what's your name, fam? Showy beats. And he has like a job, showy beats. And he just does all the like the dramatic showy.
But beats. You know what? Showy beats might win some beat battles that way. That's a problem.
Absolutely. You said BD beats.
BD beats. BD beat maker? Yeah,
BD beat maker. That's what it is. But yeah, I'm cool. I just wanted to make that quick point about Lupe. Other than that, I'm good, son. I'm good.
So does he have a release date for an album?
Sometime in September.
Yeah. Okay.
He had it. It's September 27th.
Sure.
He can make that date.
I'm sure he could.
Wait, hold on. It's mid-August.
I'm sitting here going, yeah.
I'm thinking it's July.
No, that's like 5 weeks away, man. That's not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening. All right. So is that it for Clock Radio Speakers this week?
Yeah. I guess next week we could potentially talk about the Slaughterhouse mixtape that's supposed to be dropping on the same exact day as the album.
No.
Yes.
No. We're gonna find.
We're gonna find something
to talk about.
Nah, we're gonna talk about the Slaughterhouse tape.
You're kidding.
You know why?
You know why
we're gonna talk about the Slaughterhouse album? Because if Crooked Eye, Royce, Joel, or Joe Budden spit some of the lines that 2 Chainz and some of these other rappers y'all talk about spit, y'all would champion them for it. They've spit horrible lines that we pass because they are perceived to be lyricists. And because 2 Chainz, if 2 Chainz doesn't shuck and jive and he really treats himself like a lyricist, he presents himself and he walks around with a backpack and a DJ Premier t-shirt and all this other stuff, like, you take him more serious. Makes the same music, he just presents himself different. Mm. And he doesn't have a southern drawl.
I guess we could talk about Slaughterhouse.
I want to talk about Slaughterhouse in that aspect.
When is that album leaking?
Shoot. It's supposed to come out August 28th, so it might not be this week.
All right.
Might be next week. So we might have a week to stretch. But they're supposed to be dropping a mixtape on Friday.
Okay.
Supposed to be. I heard they were, and then I heard they canceled it. Like,
well, at some point before the weather gets too cold again, I want to do a Dream Retro.
Listen, man. Yeah, we do need to do one in the summer.
That's what I'm saying.
I can't listen to the Dream in the wintertime.
All right.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So I want to thank everybody again for being here on Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers on Twitter. Follow, you know, if we got the specific feed just for when new episodes come out, CRS Podcast, all one word. Follow both of us on Twitter. Do not follow Armand on Instagram.
Cut you.
Please, I encourage you to tweegram him all of your comments about the show. I'm just playing. Anyway, it's a good show. Thank you all for tuning in. Armand, you got anything else to say?
I thought I did, but no, we don't. I'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week.